WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
Welcome to the program. It's Your Turn, WISR 680 AM in Butler. Great to have you aboard on a Friday. Yes, we have made it to the weekend. If you're joining us on the radio, 680 on the dial, of course, we stream online at WISR680.com. And if you've missed anything that we've done in the past, you can find that in a recorded form on our podcast page, also on WISR680.com. Well, we've got a packed show for you today, and as Tracy Morgan said, just coming out of the noon news there, that we are doing this in a tag team variety. So we'll chat here for a little bit at the top of the show, and then we'll kick it off to Tracy, as Tracy's going to be talking websites for small businesses. And this is a little bit, I think, in vogue right now, because I think it is very important for small businesses to have a website that actually looks professional. And now with all this net neutrality thing, not I'm saying that this isn't correlate together, but hey, the internet obviously at the forefront of almost everything that we do. So Tracy Morgan, make sure you tune in for that. There's going to be a lot to talk about there. And then Kayla Molzan, you are going to talk a little bit of holidays, and you're talking a little bit of everything when it comes to the holiday.
Yeah, I'm excited for this because, what, we're 10 days out from Christmas.
Is that what it is?
It's the 15th, so oh, yeah, 15 God. Plus 10, 25.
Geez, I guess you're right. That's simple math.
Yeah, but it is coming fast, and I wanted to do just a holiday segment to talk about all kinds of stuff. First, I have a couple people lined up, which I am excited to talk to. Two therapists, because it's Friday, and by the end of the week, we all pretty much need one, right?
Just need a little therapy.
So I have a life coach and therapist, Diane Sherry Case, coming on. She's an award-winning author, done a lot of stuff, so I'm hoping to talk to her about all this. But basically, she's talking about handling stress and depression during the holidays, mm-hmm. which it can be an overwhelming time. And I think today is probably when it's hitting a lot of people, being 10 days out. You know, I still have to do this,
obviously,
this, and this.
Except me, who still thinks it's a month out.
Yeah, you have no idea even when it is.
Not
so you're
a
not
clue.
Stressed.
No. Stress-free.
Right. But she, I'm excited to talk to her, and she actually, she likes people. She tries to get people to journal and to write down their thoughts. That's kind of her thing.
I've heard a lot of people go that route, even to turn it not political, but I know a lot of presidents historically mm-hmm. have journaled their daily. And, you know, there are plenty of people, whether if you're a salesperson like me at times, we're even told to journal some stuff down just to get things from mind to paper.
Right, right. And especially, too, we're going to talk about people who might have lost someone during this year. This will be the first holiday season without this person, you know, whatever. Or maybe you went through a divorce and this is the first holiday season. It's going to look a little different. How can you handle that? Because that's a, you know, big thing for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
So we have her coming on. Diane Sherry Case is her name. And then we have another, she's a family therapist. Mary Ann Clyde is her name. She is calling in from California and really going to talk about more of the same stuff. Just how do you get through this season, especially how do you navigate all of the, I don't even know how to put it, like political pitfalls that could happen during a Christmas dinner, or like you have all that family over. We all don't have the same opinions.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know. There's so much to talk about and so much to debate that we hear in the news every single day. You know, how do you deal with that? Is it okay to, you know, shut that one uncle down that won't stop talking? Or can you get up off, you know, out of the dinner table and say, I just need a second. I'm going to walk outside for a second. You know, what is okay? What's not okay? So I'm excited to talk to her. And then we're going to end. That'll be the first half hour from 1 to 1:30.
Jam-packed.
I know. And then the last half hour, we're going to have fun. I have a lifestyle expert. Her name's Kia Malone coming on. She has ideas how to throw the best party, what drinks to make, food. Fun stuff. And then finally,
another guest.
One more guest. And
holy
this
cow.
One is lined up. I just talked to this gentleman this morning. He's ready to go. Have you heard of NORAD?
They track Santa, right?
Yes. They're the North American Aerospace Defense Command. They do a lot
of
other
stuff. They're doing a lot more than just
tracking
Santa.
They do a lot
Santa.
Of other stuff. Yeah, they're actually.
When you give the formal definition,
right.
it's quite extensive.
And we're going to talk about that, but they They actually are in charge of the air defense of the airspace between the United States and Canada. So they're in charge of our airspace.
Well, that's
big deal. But on the other hand, they're also in charge of tracking Santa's journey. And it's really crazy how they got involved with doing this. This is their 62nd year that they've tracked Santa Claus. And it used to just be, you know, we'll talk all about it, how it got started. But it used to just be they would answer phone calls from kids who want to know where Santa is.
Like the Butterball hotline.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. So there's a kid... Kid could call from Butler and say, "Where's Santa?" Depending on what time it is, they'd be like, "Oh, you might be in New Zealand. You might be in China. Maybe you made it to the UK." You know, but now you can also go online, see a visual.
That's
how
we did it.
Social media. It's really, really neat. So we have Captain Chase McFarland going to call me from Colorado Springs at about 20 till 2.
So we've got a jam-packed show.
Yeah,
lined
it's gonna
up
be fun.
For you. Exactly,
it's gonna be fun.
Well, it's Friday. As always, it's been a lot of fun. I'm turning over the hosting duties to Tracy and you guys the rest of the way.
I know. I don't know how you got the day off.
Yeah,
today,
my job has become 10 times easier. So with that, folks, we're not going to keep you waiting. We're going to take a break, and we'll get right to it. Tracy Morgan talking websites for small businesses. She had a chance to talk with Ruth Ann Bowen from the Bowen Agency. So that conversation is coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR 680 AM.
When you lose a loved one, does anyone understand how you feel? Does anyone really know what you're going through? Only someone who's been there can possibly understand, right? And that's why Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique, sensitive program called Someone's Caring. It's designed to help you ease your emotional pain. These are group sessions with people who truly understand how you feel because they feel the same way. And being together helps. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, men are realizing it's okay to express their feelings in a small, intimate group setting. We've held hundreds of sessions in the last 20 years and have helped hundreds of folks cope with their feelings. We have 5 programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, for those who have lost a pet, and individual sessions. They're conducted by our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
DBS Telecommunications, a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer serving Butler and the Pittsburgh area. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. They primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems. DBS has been serving the Butler area for the past 32 years. They specialize in phone systems, in custom-designed networks, including fiber optics. They specialize in high-quality hybrid digital systems, 5-year warranties. They specialize in high-definition surveillance camera systems, multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They also provide cabling for voice, data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. We use DBS Telecommunications here at the Butler Radio Network. We've utilized their services for many years. For more info, call them today, 724-285-9088. They're also on the web at dbs-tel.com.
I'm Tracy Morgan. So nice to have you with us. Yes, Dave is on vacation. And I joked with Dave the other day because I said, you know, Dave, it takes 4 of us to cover one of you. So that should go as a compliment for Dave. But we're going to spend a little bit of time here this afternoon on It's Your Turn with Ruth Ann Bowen. She's the owner of the Bowen Agency, and her business focuses on small business and their world online. We're going to be talking about websites for your business, and if you're starting up a business, how important this is. So, Ruth Ann, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate
you
being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here. And so it's something that we all just, well, can I say we take it for granted that things are just done online. But when we want to start a business, there is a lot to think about when it comes to a website, isn't there?
Yes, a lot to think about. What I do when I'm speaking with small business owners is I start with, think of your overall goal for your website. What's the number one thing that you want people to do when they come to your website? For some people, it's having them sign up for their newsletter. So you'll have a subscribe pop-up box sometimes. You'll see this when you land on a website. People want to collect email addresses to build their contact list so that they can send them their newsletter or emails to alert them of sales, different things like that. Sometimes they want you simply to call them. to set up an appointment. Sometimes they want you to actually land on your website and book an appointment. So maybe the booking app is what you're focusing people towards. So whatever your business is, whatever that goal is for your business, when people land on your website, that should be the number one thing that they see.
Now, can you just have a web page that's just for information, or is that not the right goal to grow a business?
If that's your goal, just to have information there, sure, that's fine. That's fine. Make sure it's prominent and above the fold. So if you want people to get your address, phone number, if you have a call to action that you want them to take, click here kind of a thing, just make sure it's pretty prominent. But mostly, if you're running a small business, especially if you're e-commerce, what's the thing you want people to do? You want people to buy from you on your website. So that would be your number one goal if you're an e-commerce site. But yes, it's okay to have just information, kind of like an online business card. Just make sure that that's where you're driving people to help build traffic so that when people are trying to find you, you're pulled up higher.
But you even use the phrase in there, your call to action. So it seems like every website for a business is going to have a different purpose to draw people in some way.
Well, you want them to do something. I mean, if you're just going to land on a website, unless it's something where, you know, I'm trying to find a restaurant and I just need your address because I'm trying to find you. But at the same time, if you have the capability of giving me a menu or giving me the option to call in an order as opposed to driving and sitting down, you know, give me those options, because guess what? That's what your competitor is doing. So the idea is when you're driving somebody to your website, you want them to do something. Offer them a little bit of something. Even if it is just an information business card online, collect their email address. You know, there are marketing things that you want to do as a small business owner to help drive more traffic to your site. You want repeat customers. You want to build a relationship with that person because they've obviously tried to look for you for some reason. So try and capture them in the moment and make the best of that relationship that you can.
Talk about interactive websites. I've heard the term thrown around, and I think as a user, I'm interacting because I'm going onto their website, mm-hmm. whether I take advantage of an offer or not. I think that's interaction. Does interaction mean something different when it comes to your world and websites?
Well, you want someone interacting with you on your website, like you said, to fill out a subscription form for signing up for a newsletter. Maybe you want to offer them a free downloadable PDF with information that they're interested in. So, for example, a lot of times I'll go to a website. Maybe they're a stock photography website. And if I sign up for their emails, they'll send me 5 free stock photos. Hey, you know what? That's worth it to me. I love to work with photos, so yeah, I'm going to sign up for that, sure. And what they've done now is they've got my information, and so every time they have a sale, every time they have another free special, I get alerted with an email, and they are building a relationship with me. They're building that client trust. All because I signed up for an email and all because I went to their website looking for something, but now they've got me as a quote-unquote customer.
Okay, so you're talking about things that we could have because we may have different goals, but what are the must-haves that really any business should have on their website?
Right. Must-haves. Phone number, really, really important. Email. Address, especially if you have a brick-and-mortar store where somebody is trying to find you. And a call to action button. Again, all driving back to what is that goal for your website. Whoever is landing on your website, there should be no mistake as to what you want them to do. So, for example, if you're having a sale, if you're an e-commerce site and you have a Christmas holiday sale, first thing you want to do is make sure people know about it. So maybe it's in a pop-up, or maybe it's in a strip at the top that's blinking. You know, hey, extra 50% off. You see e-commerce sites doing this all the time. There's a reason for that. It drives sales. So what's the purpose of having a website if you're not going to be driving those consumers that are landing on your site to sell your product?
All right, so even though we all have to have these must-haves, what should be on every page that if, like when you mentioned the phone number, should that be on every single page that I land on?
Absolutely.
Social media? I mean, what what is it that we should see every single time on a page?
Yeah, down in the footer a lot of times and up in the header, all of that key information, because you never know where the visitor for your site is going to decide, yeah, I think I want to call them. And today, especially on mobile devices, because that's where the majority of people are searching for you, you want to make it easy enough for them to just touch that phone number and it literally calls right into your phone number. So you want to make that as easy as possible for people to find. So those are must-haves. You definitely want to have a phone number. Any way that you want for people to contact you, phone number, email, address, those are key important. And social. Definitely want to push social, because that, again, is where you're having another conversation with that client or visitor to your site.
So let's talk a little bit about the timing. And I'm thinking of the person who's starting up a business, but yet it could be a person who's had the same website up for like 10 years, and they just haven't changed anything. So what is it that we have to think about in the way of time management of a website, and how much time we need to set aside to be able to manage it, or do we then go to someone like you to say, help me manage this thing?
Right, exactly. There's two options when it comes to your website. Small business owners can do a DIY, do it yourself, or they have an opportunity to hire a pro designer to help them with it. So if you're on a tight budget and you decide to do the do-it-yourself, be prepared for a little bit of a learning curve. I work in the Wix platform. Even within Wix, it's simple drag-and-drop editor, but if it's brand new to you and you're just starting out, there is still a little bit of a learning curve that you need to go through. Just getting used to the back end, just getting used to dragging and dropping, getting used to uploading pictures, getting used to changing your text. So, you know, keep in mind that it does take time. It may seem like, oh, wow, this is super easy. I just need to go in, drag and drop, and it is. But at the same time, remember, that's taking time away from your working on your business. So you can either focus on working on your business, or you can focus on putting together your website. So really, you do need to structure your day and your planning for web design time. The other thing with DIY, too, is if you don't have design experience, it could end up being a train wreck and a disaster, because there are definitely design rules that need to be followed so that when somebody lands on your website, you know, oh, this person is serious about their business. So here are a few tips for you small business owners as you're designing your website. Stick to no more than 3 fonts. Try and keep it to 2 to 3 fonts. If you start using more than that, it starts to look chaotic and crazy, and that's exactly what you don't want to have happen. When somebody lands on your website, you want them to have a comfortable, friendly user experience. So stick to 3 or less fonts. You want to make sure that your images are professional. A lot of times people will use their iPhone to take pictures, and while the iPhone does take very good pictures, it still would behoove you to look into getting some professional photos done, especially for headshots. So if you have an about page, let's say you're a solopreneur, you have an about page, you have a bio, you have a picture of yourself, try and do your best to make the investment in getting a nice headshot made. If you don't do anything else on a professional photo level, please make sure you're at least taking some very nice headshots for you to put on your about page. So that's another thing. Because what happens is people today are very website savvy because they're online all the time. So when they land on a website that hasn't been touched in 2 or 3 years or 5 or 6 years, they know it. And what that says psychologically to your visitor is, I don't care about my business. I don't care to take the time for the last 3 years to make any updates to my website. Well, personally, I don't want to do business with someone who's not serious about their business. So if you're not going to take the time to update your site, I'm not going to take the time to do business with you, and I'm leaving. You have 3 seconds to keep somebody on your site. That's it. 3 seconds to make your first impression as to whether or not they're deciding, am I going to stay on this page? Can I find what I want, or am I leaving? Also keep in mind, do some research on what your competition is doing. If your competition's website looks better than yours, then pretty much guaranteed that's where people are going to want to do their business. So make sure you know what your competition is doing and then gauge how your website looks and feels to what they are doing. Because if they are the ones who are keeping up with all of the trends, all of the design trends, very user-friendly experience, but yours isn't, then you're going to start losing sales. And that's not what we want.
Even if you have a brick-and-mortar store.
Even if you have a brick-and-mortar store. Right.
So then it sounds like it's an important aspect to a company. And folks, if you're just joining us, Ruth Ann Bowen is with us, the owner of Bowen Agency, and her business focuses on small business and their online world and their web presence. And so, Ruth Ann, it sounds like it's worth, if a company can do this, worth being able to go outside their company or have a hire employee, however you want to.
Right.
You want to contract somebody out, fine. If you want to bring somebody else in, that's fine. Whatever your choice is.
Right.
But it sounds like it's an important role to a company to be able to have somebody take the time to be able to make sure that this is done well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is the face that everybody can find of your business. So if you're not taking care of it, then it will hurt you in the long run.
Now, when you're talking about if I'm on a website for 3 seconds, if I can find something easily, I'm more apt to stay or go to more pages or more visits. What is the in thing right now? Is it a simple website? Is it a busy website? Because, and I'll knock the news industry for just a moment, and I smile because that's what we do, right? I think our website is great, but I've seen different news websites where you visit and it's everything under the sun. And I can't find even the local stuff I'm looking for, right? So then you go to different websites. I will just go out of the news industry for a moment. And they are very simplistic. Mm-hmm. So what is the in thing right now? Simple or busy?
Oh, you definitely want to err on the side of simple for sure. You don't want to land on a busy website. For me personally, if I've got information overload that I'm looking at on a page, I leave. I'll try and find the information someplace else. You want to keep it very easy, very simple. And here's one of the reasons why. People don't read. They're not sitting there reading your website. They're scanning. They're scanning for what it is they're trying to find. So when you land on a website that has link after link after link after link, and it's all text and it's crammed with, you know, click here, buttons there, and it's a very confusing website, you're not going to be keeping people there.
So is that where pictures become important? Because people are scanning and they're... Mm-hmm. I think people look at pictures more than they do words anyway.
Right. Pictures, icons is another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're... I'm trying to think of something. Let's say you're in the medical industry and I'm trying to find a doctor. You know, you might just use an icon that has a button underneath and it says, find a doctor here. Instead of me landing on a page with, you know, lists of all of the doctors in your doctor's office, you know, there's a place for that, but it's not front and center. Have me click through to that. You know, maybe directions, location would be another icon or button that you could use. Services, yet again, another one that you could use. So when I'm coming to your site, I want to be able to find what I want to find quickly, so don't overload me with a ton of information. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of small business owners, especially ones who have been in business for a really long time, feel like they need to put everything out there because they want to prove to people, look, we've been here for a really long time, we're the experts, we know what we're doing. Okay, that's great, but don't shove it all in my face at once, especially if I'm landing on a homepage. Make your homepage really simple, really clear, very defined. Point me to where the places are that I want to be, and then show me the information once I get inside the site.
Ruth Ann, we only have about 5 minutes left, so just two different questions for you. One is about going on your phone, going mobile, if you will. A lot of us who have businesses, we have a website, we're set and we're ready to go, we think.
Right.
Then we don't think about our phones and how many people access our website or our information via a mobile device.
Yes, that is so correct. And Google is now starting to rank your sites via your mobile version, not your desktop. That's why it's so important to have a mobile optimized site. And what I mean by mobile optimized is when I land on your site on my phone, I don't want to have to do the pinch and squeeze. Like, I don't want to have to land on a site that looks like the entire home page on my phone screen. It needs to be set up in such a way that when I come to the site on my phone, it's laid out for the phone. So the buttons are a little bit bigger. The scroll, I'm going to scroll down. I'm not going to see everything on one page. I can't tell you how many times, and as a web designer, this is such a pet peeve for me. Just recently, yesterday I think it was, I went to go look for something and the page wasn't mobile optimized. I think it was a doctor's office actually. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's 2017, it's almost 2018, and we don't have a mobile optimized site. Google will start punishing you in your ranking if your site is not mobile optimized. So when you're thinking about designing your site, design first for mobile and then desktop, because that's where the trend is heading.
One more question before we run out of time. It's about the ADA compliance. You were talking to me off the air before we started our conversation about colors and fonts, and talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Right. So we're moving towards design for disabilities, ADA compliant sites. What that means is your site will have high contrast in colors so that someone who has a visual disability, for example, my mom has macular degeneration. So thinking of how she will see my site, what's going to make it easier for her to find what it is she's looking for. So high contrast between your colors, larger font sizes, so you want to do 16 point or above. A lot of times the tendency in the design industry is to go smaller, but we need to start thinking about how we can make our sites really modern and cool looking with even larger fonts, because it's got to be easy for these people to read and find what they want as well. And a lot of times people will have a reader, so their screen is being read to them. And if you don't have things on there, like for example, you can put alt text in your photos. So you're describing what this photo is, so that when someone who can't see is scrolling through your site, it can tell them, you know, photo of people playing at, you know, whatever company, say you're a toy company or whatever, you know, you want to describe that picture so that someone who can't see it understands what exactly is on your site. So that's just, those are just a couple of the things.
Now, when you're talking about colors and contrast colors and also fonts and sizes, and I know I asked you about ADA compliance, out of that realm, are those things just as important?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So keep that in mind as you're designing. You know, your whole focus, again, is to make the visitor have a friendly, easy user experience. So your design needs to be in such a way that when someone lands on your site, number one, they know where they're at and what kind of site and what kind of business you're doing. And number two, what it is you want them to do to click through.
So what is important with colors? I've read a couple of stories on this where certain colors will make you feel a certain way.
Sure.
Does that also...
That plays
kind of
into
plays
it.
Plays in as you're looking at your website? Because I'm thinking, if I'm saying colors and people are going to go like pink, purple, and red and blue.
Yeah.
You know, all in the same,
right.
You know, wow,
yeah.
Website.
Yeah, well, if you're a flower store, those colors would probably be very good.
They might, yeah.
Right. But, for example, I just did a site for a cybersecurity agency. I'm not using pink, purple, and blue. We're using gold, red, and black because those are power colors. They're colors that are giving off that sense of impenetrability, as opposed to the light and fluffy pastels. You know, that would not make sense for a cybersecurity company. So yes, you want to take all of that into consideration when you're putting your design together. And if for some reason you are not adept at that, please give me a call and I'd love to help you.
Yeah, Ruth Ann Bowen, the owner of Bowen Agency, she focuses on this. Small businesses, their online world. So how do we get a hold of you? If
you can go to my website, you can visit thebowenagency.com and you can find all of my information there. You can email me, you can call me. I actually have a scheduler. If you scroll down on my homepage, you can click on a button and my schedule will pop up and it'll give you all of the times that I'm available for a phone call. So feel free.
Very good. Ruth Ann, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was
right.
A pleasure.
Yes, it was nice having you in. Again, Ruth Ann Bowen with the Bowen Agency, focusing on small businesses in their online world. Folks, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan. Of course, Dave will be on vacation still yet another couple of days. We'll give him a couple of days to sleep in. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tracy Morgan.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
On average, humans walk 100,000 miles during the course of their lives, so it makes sense our feet and ankles may suffer wear and tear. Doctors William Saar and Christopher Edwards of the Foot and Ankle Team at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers diagnose and treat numerous injuries and conditions to help get you back on your feet. Their approach to orthopedic foot and ankle care offers a wide range of conservative to surgical treatment options. To learn more, visit TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partner with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
It seems that almost every day there's news of a breakthrough in healthcare. New medicines and procedures, imaging that opens a new window into the human body. At Butler Health System, interventional radiologist Dr. Thomas Franco understands that even with these breakthroughs, no technology can replace the human side of care.
Every image tells us a story, but there's a bigger picture, and we never lose sight of that. Healthcare is more than practicing medicine. It's about taking the time to understand where every patient is coming from.
For cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. David Schwartzman, that understanding is ultimately the key to better outcomes.
Technology isn't enough. Skill isn't enough. We have all of that. It's about improving the quality of the lives we touch every day.
At Butler, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Good afternoon and welcome back to It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Kayla Molzan, one of the people, one of the crew that is filling in for Dave Malarkey today, and it does take a crew. You'll hear from myself. You just heard from Tracy Morgan, Tyler Friel, Ryan Saylor will be joining us within the next couple of days. So it takes a village to fill in for Dave, but we're happy to do it. We're going to talk Christmas to close out the program today, just over a week away. Seems like an appropriate time. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, hopefully there is no ugly. It is Christmas time after all. But honestly, it is a great time for many, for most people, I would say. But some really struggle with the holiday season for one way or another. And that's where we're going to start this half hour, how you can handle stress and depression this time of year. I'm going to bring in two different experts on this very topic to get their perspectives and advice. First, I'm excited to welcome award-winning author and life coach Diane Sherry Case to the show. Diane, I'm excited to talk with you today. You know,
we've been doing a lot of stories on, you know, how you plan for the best holiday party and, you know, how you make the perfect drink and buy the perfect gift and all this stuff. But it's not always a perfect time of the year for everybody. I know a lot of people deal with depression and get really stressed out when you talk about the holidays. We wanted to bring in award-winning author and life coach Diane Sherry Case. She's on the phone with us. Diane, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So we know that the holidays are a wonderful time of year, and it's kind of, you know, thrown down our throat a little bit. You have to be happy. This is the best. But studies show that nearly half of all women, and I was surprised by this, a third of all men are stressed or depressed this season. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we all get wrapped up in our obligations and materialism and don't really take the time to focus on the delights sometimes. And it's also a time when loss is brought to the forefront. Mm-hmm. If you've had, you know, if you've lost loved ones. And I have a suggestion for that, and that is to write them a greeting card or a love letter. Of course, you're not going to send it, but it really helps to get those feelings on paper and to let them know that they will always be in your heart.
It is a tough time of year because a lot of stuff that comes with Christmas time and the holidays are traditions and stuff that you did every single year, and you did it with the same people and you look forward to it. And, you know, for whatever reason, when some of those people in your group aren't with you anymore, it really can dampen the mood a little bit. I like what you say. Just write it down and write them that card. I really like that.
Yeah, and I also, and then you can get to the positive and write about the things you do love about the season. I like to use lists if you have trouble free flow writing. You know, a lot of people journal, but sometimes it becomes like a job and not a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you need little tricks for journaling. So I like to use the senses when I'm describing things. And you can even make lists, a list of your favorite smells or tastes, textures, sounds, rituals of the season. And then you can pick out a an event in the past, like describe an experience you've had at some holiday. It might not be the whole holiday, but some nice little experience you've had that was uplifting in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And see if you can recreate that, or if you can create some experience this year, even if it's something small like changing the atmosphere in your home, buying a scented candle, changing the lighting, something small to make it, you know, more festive and special, special time of year. It's
mm-hmm.
a quiet time of year. It's a time when we can go into silence and reflect, too. It's a great time for journaling. And it's also a great time, if you're alone, to volunteer, because you want to be around people.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that it is a quiet time of year, because I think some of us feel like it's not quiet at all. You know, we're going to the shopping malls and it's so busy and there's commercials telling us to buy this gift and this gift. And sometimes, you know, we do need that time to reflect.
Yeah, yeah. And write down what's really important. I mean, we don't need, none of us need more stuff.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
And it's nice, like the week between Christmas and New Year's is, you know, quiet, nothing's expected of you work-wise. You know, it's really a time when you can go within and go deeper into your heart and subconscious. When I tell people to write, I tell them to write as fast as they can without using punctuation, worrying about spelling, or even full sentences. And that way they can get past their intellect to the deeper feelings,
mm-hmm.
to the subconscious and the heart.
I like that you suggest, you know, maybe even starting with a list, because I think a lot of people do want to write down their feelings, and, you know, it can be applied to this time of year or, you know, other times of the year, but they just are intimidated by it for whatever reason. Do you have any suggestions on it, you know, if people feel like, well, I want to get it out, but I just am uncomfortable writing, I don't do it that much, you know, to help them
out?
Well,
that's why I developed Write for Recovery, which I have workshops on my website, and I have a book coming out. And it's exercises that were derived from creative writing, but I also have a degree in psychology, so they're geared towards healing. So they're actually tell you more to do and give you more guidance than just telling you to go out and journal, which
mm-hmm.
is some kind, you know, that's sometimes hard. It's too open-ended. It's fun to have little tricks to, little prompts to trick your mind out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think writing stuff down makes such a big difference?
I don't know. It's a way to process things. I don't know, but hundreds of studies. I got a testimonial from a guy named James Pennebaker, who is the grandfather of the studies of therapeutic writing. And hundreds of studies have showed that just 20 minutes a day of expressive writing, I think it's 20 minutes twice a week in some studies, really helps you not only emotionally but physically, physical health. They've done studies on cancer patients and stuff, so there's lots of studies that indicate
wow.
that this is really helpful. And I can't exactly tell you why. I think it just is a way to process
hmm.
stuff, and you get to the next step, you know, you get beyond where you're stuck,
mm-hmm.
and you get to the next level, the next part of the onion being unpeeled.
mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think people, too, could use it, you know, as we get ready to turn the calendar on another year, you know, in terms
yeah.
of goals on and reflecting, you know, where they've been, where they want to go, you know, to get it out in writing that way.
It's an excellent time to do that.
A lot of people make resolutions. Yeah. You know, we tell somebody and then we... You know, we always come out with stats every year that say, you'll make a resolution, you probably won't stick to it. Maybe if you write it down, you'll be more apt to stick to it.
It's true. It's true. When you write down your goals, you're much more apt to meet them. And it just happens subconsciously. I remember writing down a goal that I was going to make a film in 5 years. I never dreamed I'd direct a film in 5 years. And in fact, 5 years later, I look back, like 3 years later, and oh my God, I'm doing it. I can't believe it. It's magical, writing down goals.
It's so rewarding. I recently did it a couple years ago, and when I completed, you know, the task of what I said I was going to do, I actually went into my journal and crossed it off, and it felt so good to be able to do something that I've always wanted to do, to cross it off. It's like, yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, it really is satisfying. And if you don't know what your dreams and goals are, I always talk about, I make decisions writing. Like, I'll write about, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what I'm going, I don't know what I'm thinking, and just there, you know, getting that out until something else comes up. Eventually something else will come up.
Yeah, that, it's a good way, and, you know, they always say to make the T-chart, the pluses and minuses, before you make a big decision. I think it's just, you know, visually seeing it helps a lot of people.
And writing from the subconscious and the heart, you surprise yourself. You say, oh, I didn't realize that was important to me, or I didn't realize I was feeling that. And that's a really fun process. Or I didn't realize I was that talented. You know, literary talent is actually quite common. And many of my students find out that they're really good writers. That's not my purpose. My purpose is healing. But sometimes they write beautiful stuff.
Wow. So, and it could probably, really, I'm assuming you could start writing at any age too, right? Like, even if you are of the older demographic and you're saying, I never did it before, but maybe I, you know, could I start in my 50s, my 60s, my 70s?
Oh, absolutely. I have all sorts of, for some reason, I get a lot of lawyers in my classes. And I guess it's because they've written, like, you know, these legalese all their lives, but they've always wanted to write creatively, or they never, so they're older people. And it's just so fun to see them blossom out into, and then some of them go on to write memoirs.
While I have you, I wanted to ask you, I understand that you have taught students in prison before, and you've used, you know, what you're explaining to us, and these techniques to help them with personal issues. Talk about that for a minute.
That was really intense and just a lovely experience. I loved my students, and they were all guilty of two felons, at least two felons. And they were about 15 years old. But they would discover through the writing, I didn't know what their crimes were individually, but I knew as a whole, most of it was sexual molestation and stuff, sexual crimes. Mm-hmm. And they had all been molested as children, but they never had put it two and two together that that was the cause of them then going on to do it. So it was a discovery process for them. It was really touching to see them discover their stories to their childhoods that were really difficult. A lot of them didn't write in English that well, but they still were very expressive, and it was really touching. The one thing I want to warn people about, though, is writing about trauma and bad stuff over and over and over. Sometimes when we're just told to journal, it gets repetitive, and we embed the negativity. And my theory is you write about the negative and the trauma, you know, once or twice, and then you burn it or you read it to somebody and you process it, and then you move on to more positive forms of writing and more, you know, savoring the good parts of the day, for example.
So don't get stuck in that space and kind of dwell on it.
Exactly.
Do you suggest, if somebody is listening to our conversation and, you know, they're really inspired and they think this is something they might want to try, do you suggest, you know, going out and getting a journal, you know, to keep it all in one spot, or does that not matter? Do you just want to express yourself no matter which way?
It's kind of fun to look at the journal. You go back and look at the patterns. That's kind of fun. So it's fun to have it all in one place. But, I really suggest doing different kinds of writing exercises. And I have a program where I send them out daily, which is really valuable for a lot of people.
I know you're out in California, but do you do anything online? Could some of our listeners take part in some of your activities? Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Write for Recovery, W-R-I-T-E, and then four spelled out, writeforrecovery.com. and I do online workshops. I do telephone privates where I give people exercises, I talk to them, and then I design the exercises to fit their need, what they're going through as we go along. And so it's right talk, and it's great. I see a lot of people have breakthroughs in their lives and realize their potential more and uplift their moods and awaken their creativity, and that's all very exciting.
You have a very soothing voice, so I could see how that works out, that you do the coaching on the phone and stuff.
Oh, thank you.
And I understand you have a book coming out soon?
Yes, January 16th. It's available for pre-order at Barnes & Noble.
What is it? What's it about? Tell us.
It's about, it's about therapeutic writing. It's, the introduction is kind of academic about the how valuable it is and its history and the psychological theories behind the exercises. And then it's more like memoir, but it's basically the prose just embraces the exercises. So it's basically a book of exercises that you can do. I guarantee you'll get a lot out of it. I've taught it for, 10 years. So, and I taught it to therapists to use writing in their practices.
Interesting.
So it's really valuable if you're in therapy too, because you reach things, you get there faster.
I know I can't obviously speak for everybody, but I would rather read a book like the one you're describing where there are exercises involved. I just learn so much faster when it's like, okay, teach me about it, but then let me do it, you know, instead of just reading. I always seem to catch on to things more when I, you know, when I actually do it for myself.
Yeah, I intend to go back through the book and do the exercises again myself. They're really, it'll be fun.
Well, I'm so glad.
I read the book. I thought, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm
sometimes
so glad
you channel things.
Right.
You write fast, you channel things that are smarter than you. And I feel like that's what I teach, and that's what happened with the book. It's smarter than I am.
I'm so glad we got to talk to you again. If you're just joining us, it's life coach and award-winning author Diane Case. I think not only does what we're talking about apply to the holidays, as we talked about at the beginning, but just as a fresh start for 2018, I think this is something that people would really enjoy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, happy holidays, and right from the heart.
That was life coach and award-winning author Diane Sherry Case. Again, you can check out her work. See if it's something you'd be interested in. It's writeforrecovery.com, and also her book is available, as you heard her say, on pre-order. It'll be coming out in January of 2018. A great conversation with Diane. We thank her again for joining us. We want to continue this very conversation. We're talking how to successfully deal with holiday stress, which can, for many people, completely taint the holidays and spoil precious time with family and friends. I am pleased to bring in contributor, author, and licensed therapist now. Her name is Marianne Clyde.
She's an expert in mental health in the workplace. She's a marriage and family licensed therapist as well, in practice for almost 3 decades. Marianne, thank you so much for your time. I love that you were sending out topic ideas, and your topic was titled, Your Holiday Stress Has Nothing to Do with Your Mother-in-Law. I love that.
Yes, shock, shock, right?
Everything's always put on the mother-in-laws. It's not fair.
I know. I'm a mother-in-law, so I get it.
It is a stressful time of year, though, and that's what we've been talking about. You know, it's supposed to be joyful, and it's a time of year that most people wait for all year long.
Right.
But then when it gets here, we're overwhelmed and we're stressed. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, even as you were just saying that, it occurred to me that we do that to ourselves. You know, we build up an event like it's such a big deal, and then so often after it's over, we feel deflated, and we do that for all big occasions, like weddings and birthday parties and all kinds of stuff, because what we get in our mind isn't always equal with reality, believe it or not. And we just have to figure out how to make our holidays or any big event go according to our rules as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be subject to what everybody else thinks, what everybody else You know, you might have an overachieving neighbor that makes hundreds of cookies and decorates their house with lights and sends out Christmas cards to everybody she's ever met since she was in college. And it's just, that's too stressful. And that's certainly not me. I have backed up over the last years with many traditions because they're always somebody else's idea. So I decided to make the holidays about relationships, about family, about what I want to accomplish.
Exactly.
That's what I encourage people to do.
Yeah, and it should be what you want because it is your holiday season and your holiday looks different than my holiday and,
right?
You know, so on and so forth. I want to talk about this whole stigma that it is about other people's opinions, because I think that hits the nail on the head. Whether, I mean, my husband said it the other day, well, our neighbors have lights outside. We need lights outside. And I had a girlfriend that said, well, my neighbor's tree is beautiful in the window. I want a beautiful tree in my window. Why do you think we do that? Is it just our culture?
You know, we do. It's that keeping up with the Joneses
yes.
thing. You know, if your husband likes other people's lights, get in the car and take a tour of the neighborhood because it's so much less work than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we are so subject to other people's opinions. And you know what? People's opinions change every 5 minutes, and they don't necessarily let us know when their opinions change. But we're jumping all over the place trying to qualify for their approval, and they're just as insecure as we are. I mean, it's kind of crazy to put your happiness in the hands of someone else who is unstable or changes their mind or just is having a bad day.
Absolutely.
You know, it's we do that all the time. Crazy, isn't it?
What do you think, you know, how do we determine, I guess, with between something that, you know, is a tradition that we actually do value and we want to do, or is it something that we're dreading doing? Do you just think before the holiday, just kind of have a conversation, maybe whether it be with your other family members or yourself, and say, do I want to keep doing this or do I hate doing this every year?
Well, you know, I think we have to pay attention to our reactions. Like if somebody, you're in a conversation and somebody says, oh, I have to write my 200 Christmas cards, and you just want to throw up. Notice your trigger points. And if that triggers you, then there's something about it you don't want to do. There's something about it. Maybe your list has to be honed down to people you haven't seen this year, or maybe you don't want to send Christmas cards. You know, I know I lived in Japan for about 8.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and what they do there is they send out New Year's cards. And so if you want to send out cards, but you don't want to do it while you're trying to bake and while you're trying
mm-hmm.
to gather the family, think about sending out New Year's cards. You know, if somebody's talking about Christmas shopping and you feel overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I have all these gifts to get, well then come up with a new way of handing out gifts. Suggest to your family, maybe let's do a gift exchange this year and draw a name out of a hat, and everybody gets a really nice gift for one person
mm-hmm.
instead of 20 gifts for everybody. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with shaking it up a bit. Nobody really likes change, but sometimes it's necessary for somebody to say, whoa, 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 this is getting way out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
We have now maybe we've got 50 grandchildren now. We might not be able to do things the same way as we could do them last year, you know.
Right, right. And I like that you know, offer the idea of cutting back. You don't have to cut out completely. It just might be a dial back.
Right. Right, and not make particular days so important, because to many people it has to be a certain time, a certain day. We always do things Christmas Eve. We always have the family over Christmas
mm-hmm.
Day. We always have, you know, whatever it is you always do. Well, you know, as our families morph and change and the kids grow up and they go out to do their own thing, and we're still expecting everybody to show up on Christmas morning, well, you're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a good idea. Like, most of our kids just come the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they've got their own families.
Sure.
They like to be in their own homes. And to us, it's no big deal. It's, you know, it's another day. We can have the same meaning we mm-hmm. attribute to it on that day. We just, you know, December 25th, You know, it's like celebrating a birthday for yourself. If nobody's going to be there on your birthday, it's okay to go out to dinner the night before.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like you don't want to talk to your family on the 26th. You only want to talk to them on the 25th.
Right, and I'm sure Jesus is not offended, if, you know, if we celebrate his birthday on another day.
How do you suggest dealing with a family member that it doesn't react well to you maybe wanting to start a new tradition, or you saying, well, we used to have everybody at my house, but this year we're going to, you know, have people the next day, or we're not going to have people this year. And you always have that uncle or that aunt that says, well, I can't believe this. We've always done it this way.
You're ruining everything.
Right. How do you react to that?
Well, you know what? This is how I teach people to deal with families all the time, because very often, if you've got a rigid family member where they only like things a certain mm-hmm. way and so forth, they are going to resist that kind of thing. Because they have a hard time with change. So if you could simply get in your mind, okay, but you know, I can't be sane if we're going to do it the same way again next mm-hmm. year. So I have to make that adjustment. So Aunt Charlotte, I know you're uncomfortable with moving it to another day. What would you need me to include to make it comfortable for you? You know, and, mm-hmm. and try to get their opinions. And if, you know, it could be nothing's going to make Aunt Charlotte happy. And sometimes we just have to say, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry that upsets you. This works for the majority of the people, so we're going to do it. We really hope you can still come.
Mm-hmm.
Or not.
Right. But I do think, you know, keeping the communication lines open and just not ignoring Aunt Charlotte, you know, it just...
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you lose a family member or somebody gets divorced or the kids go off to college and now they're going on a trip with their friends and
sure.
they're not going to be home. Those times are difficult transitions, but we have to keep in mind that... Let's be sensitive to what the needs are, but when we have to keep ourselves in mind, too, or you know what they say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
I want to ask you about mealtime and how sometimes things can get heated once everybody is in one place and we're all around the dinner table. If there's, you know, say, God forbid the politics comes up or the religious mm-hmm. debate, or, you know, you could pick a number of things happening in the political landscape this year to talk about. if something does start to get heated, is it okay to, you know, to stand up and say, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, step outside for a second, or I'm going to go get a drink of water? Is that all right to do?
I think that's so healthy to do. You don't have to do it by slamming down your napkin, rattling all the dishes, and say, I'm out of here. You know, you can simply just take a deep breath and remove yourself. Or you can have, even if you expect that kind of thing to happen, because it always happens every year, you might want to have a couple conversation starters, you know, in your mind that, you know, that you just, it's okay to change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Say, yeah, I hear that really ticks you off. That's really something. You know, I've been wanting to ask you, you were planning that trip to Acapulco. Tell me about that. Is it starting up, or have you made plans? You know, and just acknowledge what they're saying, acknowledge that they're upset about something, but then say, oh, I've been wanting to say this to you, you know, for the last few weeks, and I haven't heard about, you know, mm-hmm. how your kid's doing in college. What's happening? And have things that you can redirect the conversation with.
I like
that. That helps the conversation, too, because you have a right to do that. You don't have to suffer somebody else spouting off their opinion
mm-hmm.
in an abusive way. I think that's unhealthy, and it really kind of messes up
mm-hmm.
a fun family gathering.
Yeah, I'm a diverter. I like to acknowledge what they say, but it's like, okay, I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the vacations and the upcoming trips and, you know, how was school this year?
Yeah, did you see all the news outlets over Thanksgiving that had the lists of things people were sending in that this is on my refrigerator? We can't talk about politics, we can't talk about religion, we can't talk about, you know, Roy Moore, we can't talk
right.
about Hillary Clinton,
the
we
list
can't
goes
talk
on
about
and on.
Trump. Yeah, and it's and I don't think we necessarily have to have topics we can't address. We need to just learn skills that we can respond thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm.
And my go-to is always, it's principle 4 in my book. It's just kind of take a deep breath. The reason for that is if you're reactive, which our society is becoming more and more so, you're in fight or flight mode, and so the oxygen's not circulating in your brain as it should be, mm-hmm. which makes you say stupid things, makes you react and hurt people's feelings and so forth. So if you simply just take a deep breath and detach from the drama that triggers you, you have that split second to actually come up with a better response.
And that could make all the difference.
Ah, it's amazing. Amazing.
I want to talk about one of your other tips. You suggest asking for help when you need it. And this one resonated with me because I have a Christmas party every year for friends. And, you know, it's the polite thing. They always ask, what can I bring or what can I do? And I used to say, oh, you don't need to bring anything. This year I said, you know what? You can bring this. You can make that dip. You can bring that bottle of wine. It felt kind of weird, but I have to say it made the stress on me a lot less and I enjoyed it more.
That is a wonderful idea because it's, you know, we went to a Christmas party not too long ago, and just on the invitation it said, please bring a bottle of wine to share.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've had other invitations that say, please bring an appetizer or a dessert. So you can, even if you don't know exactly what your menu is going to be necessarily, you can get an idea of, well, I really hate making appetizers, so let's put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy for people to stop and get something, you know, like chips and dip or something, on their way to the party. They don't have to put a lot of thought into it, and then you're relieved of that extra load. I think what troubles people sometimes is they say, what can I bring? And the person inviting them is not that organized at that time, and they just
right.
don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of times we have to let go of the control. I feel good if I can bring something to somebody's party.
Right.
You know, so you're actually, by saying, no, don't bring anything, while that's really nice, I think a lot of people like to bring stuff.
Yeah, I think so, too. It makes them feel more comfortable when they show up on your doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
Marianne, we just have a couple more minutes together, but I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, and that was divorce. And it's something a lot of people go through, and this might be the first holiday season where their family looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest to the adults? Maybe, you know, the plans have been set and the kids are going to go to dad's house one day, Christmas Eve, and mom's house on Christmas Day. But then the adult that doesn't have the kids on either one of those days, that can be difficult.
It can be difficult. And I know even my own daughter said to me, Mom, this is my first year alone on Christmas. And I said, oh, yeah, well, let me know what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the case, you can focus on the loss and the difference and the change, or you can accept the idea as, wow, this is an opportunity to do something grown up. Like maybe I can go to a brunch, or maybe I can have friends over for brunch that don't necessarily have any other place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can do a special Christmas Eve celebration. Maybe we can even take a trip. But what we focus on is what gets bigger and bigger in our minds. So if you're focusing on the, I'm going to be alone this year for the first time in my life, or the first time since we got divorced, then it's going to seem that much worse. So if you can say, well, I'm certainly going to miss the kids, but I'm going to have them 3 days later, and so I'm going to spend the day wrapping gifts, I'm going to spend the day planning an activity, you know, I'm going to call a friend and meet a friend for lunch that day. We'll go to a Chinese restaurant or something different that you wouldn't necessarily do. And very, very important to focus on the results you want,
mm-hmm.
not the results you fear.
That is true, because what you dwell on is what, you know, is going to...
That's what you're going to get.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Real quickly, I want to talk about self-care, because I think this is important, especially people, too, that, you know, are healthy and they always get their exercise in. It seems like, you know, Thanksgiving rolls around and it goes all out the window, and you're going to holiday parties and you're eating the cake and drinking the champagne. You suggest still taking care of yourself this time of year.
Absolutely. We need to, first of all, we need to be pretty easy with ourselves. So we overindulge. We had that extra piece of cake. We had an extra glass of wine or beer that we wouldn't normally have. Don't you know, beat yourself up about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can somehow get out and take your daily walk, or if you didn't today, do it tomorrow. if you can take a few minutes a day, maybe you've got family so you can't sit and meditate out in the living room for an hour in the morning, but you can do a meditation in the shower and just let the stress run off of you with the water. Just make little adjustments like that, because meditation, grounding principles, breathing, exercise, getting out in the fresh air, and you can even enlist your company and say, hey, you know, we're going to go out for a walk after dinner, or let's go out with a hike, go out for a hike this morning. And it doesn't have to be athletic, but it does shake things up a bit, and it does get the stress relieved a little bit, too.
Absolutely. Marianne, you offer such great advice for people. I know you have launched at least 2 best-selling books. Can people get those wherever books are sold?
They can. They can get them on Amazon. And my newest book, Zentivity, is also available on Amazon, also was an Amazon bestseller. And they can find out more about that at zentivity.guru.
Zentivity, and that's with a Z.
Yep, like Zen, things are calm. Mm-hmm. Tivity, things are productive. Yes, Zentivity.
We need things to be calm in 2018, especially in the workplace.
We do.
Thank you so much for your conversation, and I'll advise everybody to look for your books. Marianne Clyde is her name. Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Kayla. Oh, it's been wonderful chatting with you. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. I'm Kayla Molzan, filling in for Dave Malarkey on It's Your Turn this afternoon here on WISR 680 AM. Going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about all the fun stuff that comes with Christmas, how to plan the best holiday parties, and also we're going to have a visit from an organization that is getting ready to track Santa Claus's Christmas Eve journey around the world. You want to stay tuned for that. It's Kayla Molzan here on WISR. It's Your Turn.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 South of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289. It's the holiday season, and you're buying gifts for everyone, but not everyone lives around here anymore. So you've got to ship those gifts, and you want a local, reliable shipping company that you can trust to get that package to your loved ones. We suggest Going Postal in Butler. Going Postal, just off Newcastle Road. They'll find a way to ship just about anything. Simple, too. Just take the gift up. They pack it. They ship it. And if you want to get stocking stuffers like lottery tickets or Christmas cards, they've got those, too. They're just off Newcastle Road, right in between Villa Grande and King's Restaurant. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping store.
Welcome back, listeners, to It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 AM. It's Kayla Molzan filling in for Dave Malarkey this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
We're into the holiday season now, and, you know, a lot of people get stressed out when they think about all the stuff they have to host, all the get-togethers and parties. We've brought in a lifestyle expert. It's Kia Malone. Most notably, she's the long-running host of the nationally syndicated morning TV show, The Daily Buzz. Kia, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, absolutely. So happy to join you.
So why do you think this is, you know, it's supposed to be a fun, happy time of year. Friends come over, families come over, everybody gathers around. Why do you think hosts get stressed out?
Because they don't delegate. You know, this is a fun time of year, but you really have to delegate and really keep it easy and do something simple. I like to do the unexpected around the holidays because everybody is expecting the holiday themes like the ugly Christmas sweater party or the best Santa outfit. Well, how about a night in Venice? You know, the Italian city is known for its decorative masks, so maybe have your guests, you know, find their best mask to wear. And I also have some easy ideas for you for finger foods like prosciutto and melon. You know, that salty mix is perfect for the holidays, as well as some glazed figs with balsamic honey and, or balsamic vinegar rather, and honey. And then also a charcuterie plate, maybe salamis, cheeses. All of these are really easy, fun things for you to have at home. Easy to make, and your guests will love it.
So, Kia, you say it's all right if you kind of step out of the box, stray from tradition a little bit. You don't have to do the ugly sweater. You don't, you know, don't have to do the black tie. I mean, you can kind of step out the box a bit?
I think so. I think a lot more people want to just kind of relax and have fun and enjoy the holiday season versus worrying about, oh, gosh, I've got to go find that, you know, perfect ugly Christmas sweater, or, oh, we've got to get, you know, dolled up again in a tuxedo. So it's always nice when they know that they're going to a fun party, that they can relax and maybe do something unexpected. Of course, I also have another idea for you for something unexpected. Why don't you have a wonderful cranberry holiday punch? I've partnered with Smirnoff Vodka to show you how to whip up a delicious adult beverage using the award-winning Smirnoff number 21, which, of course, as you know, is made right here in America. Very good quality vodka at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix cranberry, raspberry juice, pineapple juice, lemon lime soda, and, of course, Smirnoff in a punch bowl. Then you garnish with lime slices, lemon slices, and frozen cranberries, and everyone is happy, and you don't have to worry about anything else because it serves up to 24 guests. So all of your guests will be able to enjoy a nice adult beverage without you having to make individual drinks or spend all your time behind the bar. Now, of course, remember to drink responsibly and make sure your guests do the same.
I like that. Very festive, too, with the red color and just making a lot at one time so you don't have to spend all your time, you know, filling up the cups.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, you put it right there in the punch bowl. Again, delegate. Let them serve themselves.
Let's talk about delegating, because I do like that. You know, everybody, I feel like if you have nice guests, for lack of a better word, they say, you know, what can I help? What can I do? But sometimes it's easier if you're just like, you know, I'll do it. I'll do it. Is it? Should you actually say, well, you know what? I might need help here. I could need help in the kitchen.
I think you should. That way you're not stressed out. You know how it is when you're stressed out and you have people coming over to the house? They feel that. They can pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of makes it uncomfortable for everyone around. So, yeah, if your girlfriend comes in and says, hey, girl, let me help you out in the kitchen, say, yeah, grab the Smirnoff or grab the cranberries or the figs or whatnot and let her help you. Plus, it gives you some, you know, fun time with your friends, maybe putting everything together. Also, if you have people coming to stay with you for an extended amount of time for the holidays, ask for volunteers to make breakfast or have all the fathers and the husbands and brothers and uncles make dinner. Maybe they can make burgers, hot dogs, chips, maybe some homemade cookies with the kids. And then that way they can watch the kids and then you guys can go shopping maybe for last-minute gifts. And if you are the guest at someone's home, offer to help, offer to volunteer, kind of make some things, and it just makes it easier for everyone around.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, I love throwing parties, but I hate when you feel like, you know, it's over. You feel like you just got hit by a bus. You didn't even, like, enjoy yourself at all because you were running here, there, and everywhere. You know, you want to have a fun time, too. It's your party.
Exactly. And, you know, when you keep simple things on hand, like nuts, quality crackers, maybe some peppermint bark, things that people can snack on easily around the house, it takes a lot of pressure off of you. And so when it is time for your event, then you don't have to worry about, oh, gosh, I've got to get all these little things. It's always the little things that get you, right?
Yeah, keep those things handy. I wanted to ask you, too, speaking of the drop-ins, we all love that, you know, people just show up. in this
right.
day and age, too, I feel like there's so many ways to get a hold of someone that you shouldn't just show up. But, you know, sometimes it happens. Should you keep little presents, you know, for that second cousin you didn't think was coming and now you got to give her something? Keep those stashed away, maybe?
You were reading my mind. Let me tell you, I have a closet that I keep little small presents throughout the year, to be honest.
Right.
Birthdays come up that you forget about. But especially around this time of year, I have, like, maybe, you know, little hand creams for guests, or maybe a candle or something like that. And then that way you can present it to them, maybe, you know, keep some festive wrapping around or little holiday gift bags around.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, whenever they come by, you present them with the guests, they think, oh, my gosh, she remembered me this year. They are none the wiser, and
right.
You, of course, look like the perfect hostess.
That is always hard when somebody presents you with a gift, and you're like, oh, shoot, you weren't on my list. I didn't know you were coming.
Yes, this solves the problem for you. You don't have to stress out.
Well, Kia, we're talking with Kia Malone, lifestyle expert. A lot of great tips. Kia, where can people go if they want to, you know, write down that Smirnoff Punch recipe or maybe some of your other ideas?
Sure thing. Go to Smirnoff.com or Smirnoff US through social media.
Okay. Sounds like it's going to be a fun holiday season. Kia, thanks so much for spending part of your day with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That was lifestyle expert Kia Malone. I don't know about you, but it's Friday afternoon. I'm ready to head to a party right now. Can't do that just yet, though, because we have one more guest to welcome onto Friday's program here today. And this is a fun one. It's a really fun interview. And, well, at least I hope it's going to be a really fun interview. I was excited to book this one, though. This is with NORAD. And I'm going to explain what organization that is and how this all ties in to the Christmas season.
All right, as we inch closer and closer to Christmas, many people are getting ready to welcome Santa into their homes. I know one organization that is really excited to welcome Santa in and track his journey is NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command. And I know many people are listening right now saying, how does NORAD have anything to do with Santa Claus? Well, we're here to explain that today. We've brought in Captain Chase McFarland from NORAD. Captain McFarland, thanks so much for joining us. I know that it's the busiest time of year for you folks over there. Thanks for giving us some of your time today.
Kayla, thank you for having me. We're super excited to talk about Santa this year.
So I did some research, and I know some people might not be aware that NORAD, like I said, stands for the North American Aerospace Defense Command. They're a United States and Canada binational organization charged with the missions of aerospace warning and aerospace control for North America. Now, that's a pretty legit job. Those are very important tasks that they're taking care of. How does NORAD have anything to do with Santa Claus?
Well, you know, it all started in 1955 when a young boy accidentally dialed one of our unlisted phone numbers to an operation center here in Colorado Springs. The boy was actually trying to call Santa to get a hold of him, tell him what he wanted for Christmas, and ended up dialing a misprinted phone number. When the operations center picked it up, you know, they were quick to realize this mistake and had assured the boy that, you know, NORAD would guarantee that Santa would have a safe journey and also get his message. And then from that moment on, the tradition was born that we would then start tracking Santa and help kids around the world get their message, and also be able to follow him on Christmas Eve.
I love that it was an innocent phone call from a little boy. You know, a lot of people think that just one person can't, you know, make a difference, but I think that boy would beg to differ.
Oh, yeah, one call. And, I mean, over 60 years of tracking Santa started because of that.
So how does this logistically work? I know that you have folks like yourself who work for NORAD, and you're doing very important jobs. Did you create a separate entity or a separate section that every year is going to track Santa Claus's journey?
No, actually, it's the entire command. As we, you know, just like we track planes, anything else that is in our airspace, it's the same processes, the same equipment, same people. And we're only able to do this each year thanks to the generosity of numerous government, non-government contributors, and the phenomenal work that more than 1,500 Canadian, American uniformed personnel, civilians, their families, other volunteers who just give their time on December 24th to help us really just take the mass amount of calls that come in on Christmas Eve to help us track Santa.
So you do get a lot of phone calls on Christmas Eve, all from kids excited and wanting to know where the big guy is.
Oh, yeah. We start at about 3 a.m. Mountain Time, and we go until about midnight. And from that point, the phones are ringing off the hook nonstop.
Well, a lot of people want to know when he's coming down their chimneys. I love it so much.
Oh, yeah. Now, the key is all the kids, you know, Santa doesn't come by your house if you're still awake.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so the kids got to be asleep. Otherwise, he'll come back, but, you know, he'll kind of skip your house until he knows you're asleep, and then he'll circle back around.
Right, so you don't want to stay up all night. You could risk not getting any presents.
Yeah, no matter how much fun that is. Right. We highly recommend you go sleep so you get your gifts as early as possible.
You mentioned that this started way back in 1955 because of that phone call, and you do take a lot of phone calls, but it's grown over the years. And I know you guys have an interactive website. You're on social media. I saw that you have an official app. Talk about that growth and how many different ways people can engage with you.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, as time goes on and technology increases, it allows us to, you know, get that message out even further and further, where it used to be just phone calls, newspapers, maybe radios like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But as, you know, social media gets up, we really get on social media the day of. We're doing minute-by-minute updates, where he's at, screenshots. We're posting pictures from our radars, our satellites, Santa cams, our jet fighters that are out there escorting take pictures every once in a while. We share that. Also with apps, you know, we have apps for the Android and iPhone platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And this allows you to play games, also track where he's at on the maps. I mean, all that great stuff. And then, of course, there's the website, which has been strong and true for quite some time now. And that's kind of our very recommended spot to go to because, I mean, it's a big picture. You know, it's a big picture of a map. It's real time. It's the same map that we're working off of in our operations center. It's just awesome. And I know next year we'll have an even better platform to talk to people. Like last year we started an Instagram account for NORAD Track Santa,
mm-hmm.
Which was something new. And so each year, the more products that come out, the more ways we're going to get the information.
Yeah, who knows what we'll be talking about at this time next year.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to see what we have.
It's my understanding that even though we are a few days before Christmas, the website is live already, and there's things that you can jump on with your kids and your whole family can do. Could talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So our website has been active since December 1st, and there's all sorts of things. I love this website. When I moved here and started a job here, of course, the website was one of the first things we got on. And, I mean, you can go on there every single day. A new game is uploaded, and it's just some kind of Christmas game. You know, it's nothing too huge, but they're fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can do them with your family, be competitive with each other, maybe with your friends. It also has a lot of stuff, pictures. It's got music. It's got, like, activities for coloring, maybe reaching out to Santa so that they know to give maybe you and your families a call to see what you want. Some of his helper elves will help him get a hold of kids via phone before Christmas. And then there's obviously a little section on there if you wanted to learn more about NORAD Track Santa, NORAD itself as an entity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great tool to be out there to learn a lot of information.
And what is the website? We should probably give people that so they can jump on.
Absolutely. So the website is www.noradsanta.org.
.org, okay. noradsanta.org. And if you just type in NORAD, that'll take you to the actual NORAD site, correct? So you got to make sure you type in Santa there.
Yeah, and you know, from our even if you get to the NORAD page,
mm-hmm.
There are links there that will push you to the Santa page because we know that's important to get you guys there.
Absolutely. Just the whole program is such a fun time, offers such a family bonding experience. I think even I would be pressed to say even a geography lesson for some kids out there. When you talk about on Christmas Eve how you're watching, you know, Santa and his sleigh and where he stops and you have pictures going up, I think that's so neat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he goes everywhere in the world. And, you know, the route that he takes is even a mystery to us. Each year it's almost exciting for us just to see which route he's going to take that year because, you know, he kind of switches it up, you know, like keeps it energetic for him as well as everybody. But when you're watching this map, yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity to learn about the world. When he's going through certain countries, especially on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. we're hitting up like key points about that country sometimes, you know.
Okay.
Not for everyone, but we're definitely trying to give out some good information on what's kind of a big deal in that country, so that when Santa's going through, those kids and the families have even more of an educational lesson, if you will.
Sure, because different parts of the world have different traditions and different
Absolutely.
Things that they do.
And there are so many of them. And, mm-hmm. and also, on our website, you can learn about traditions around the world for Christmas.
I love it. So we know that Santa does go east to west, but you say the route is different every year.
Yeah, like which countries he stops in, which cities, each house. He doesn't follow the same route twice.
Interesting, interesting. He's keeping the reindeer on their toes, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you know, and it keeps us on our toes, too. So, you know, if anybody wants to know when they're going to be at your house, mm-hmm. we won't know until he's there.
And if you're asleep, like you said earlier.
Absolutely. As long as you're asleep, he'll be there.
You talked about all the phone calls that you do take on Christmas Eve. You have an operations center that you actually take these calls from. I saw a picture that you guys tweeted on your Twitter page. It does look like an operations center. I mean, it is incredible. You have so many people in there. How many people are taking calls that evening?
So we'll have roughly 1,500 volunteers.
Wow.
Almost each year we have about that number of people talking. And from about 3 o'clock in the morning on throughout the day, we have, you know, hundreds of people in there at a time taking those calls for an hour and two, maybe, and maybe they'll come back and do it again.
Are you surprised at all of where the phone calls come from? Every state, a lot of countries?
You know, I've been around, so, you know, like, but yes, it is amazing at where some of these phone calls come in from, and you wouldn't expect it. You know, you'd be thinking, oh, maybe this is going to come from Kansas today,
mm-hmm.
and instead it's coming from the UK.
Wow.
And, you know, it's fun because the kids around the world are just as energetic. They share that same energy, the same excitement to know what Santa's doing. And it's a blast. It's a blast to talk to those kids and those families.
I'm sure a lot of families have made it really into their, you know, tradition, something that they do every Christmas Eve. Maybe they, you know, they have a certain meal, they sing some Christmas carols, maybe go to church, and then they call NORAD.
Oh yeah. We get comments on our Facebook, social media, Twitter. And last year, you know, we had a few where we had grandparents that have said that they've been tracking Santa for the last 30 years. And they did it with their kids, and now their kids are doing it with their kids. It's awesome.
I love it. I love the traditions. We're talking with Captain Chase McFarland from NORAD. They are getting ready to track Santa Claus and his journey on Christmas Eve. If you want to take part and maybe make your own Christmas tradition with your family, if you haven't tried this before, it's NORADSanta.org. And as Captain McFarland said, the website is live. You can jump on. You should come back day after day because they're adding certain games and different attributes to that site. Captain McFarland, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I wanted you to talk about, I think it's something new this year, where you can actually create a personalized video message for your loved ones from Santa. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great way to do a shout-out and really get it out there. You know, not every family can be together in person during the holidays.
Sure.
And this fun way of getting that message, you know, it's getting to see the face and really just kind of getting to share it, you know, especially with social media. You can share those messages around the world, bringing those families together.
NORADSanta.org is the website. Captain McFarland, I hope you have a great Christmas. Thanks for all you do and those other 1,500 volunteers that are working hard on Christmas Eve. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. And Kayla, I do want to remind everyone, please visit the website, you know, NORADSanta.org, like we talked about. And you can also call us on Christmas Eve at 1-877-HI-NORAD.
Hi-NORAD. 1-877-HI-NORAD. That's easy enough.
Yeah. We try to make it as easy as possible to get to talk about Santa.
And what time did you say those phone calls can start coming through?
So it's going to be about 3 o'clock or 3 a.m. Mountain Time.
3 a.m. Mountain Time. Okay. Yeah, we'll be calling from the east over here, so we'll be ready for you.
We look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Captain. Have a great Christmas.
Awesome. Thank you. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Again, our big thanks to Captain Chase McFarland. He was calling in from Colorado Springs this afternoon. We thank him for his time. Well, that will do it for us on this Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Kayla Molzan for myself and Tracy Morgan, Ryan Saylor, and Tyler Friel. We hope all of you have a wonderful Friday, a great weekend, and we'll talk to you back here on Monday. Bye-bye.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 36, 36. The pick 3, 817. The pick 4, 6478. The pick 5, 14297. Wild ball for each of those is 9. The treasure hunt, 9, 10, 14, 22, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt, $10,000.
Hey folks, do you realize how long Miller's Shoes has been a presence on Main Street in downtown Butler? Would you believe 125 years? Yes. They're celebrating their 125th anniversary. Families have been shopping for quality and value at Miller's Shoes for well